Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card. You call the number for help and you can't get a hold of anyone. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines. Plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines. All on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
Come on, Bobby.
Transmitting across America.
Turn it up. No. This is the Bobby Bones Show. Let's go.
Welcome to Thursday's show. Morning, studio.
Morning.
All right, we're going to go around the room. I got a question for you guys. All the same question. Eddie, you're up first.
Okay.
What is your biggest pet peeve?
When I hold the door open for someone and they don't say thank you. I hate it. I'm doing a nice gesture. I don't need to hold the door open for you, but I love holding the door open for people. But I also like the, hey, thank you. No problem, man. Have a good day.
Same level of irritation if you let someone in traffic and they don't wave?
Same thing. I hate it. I'm being nice to you. Say thank you. Wave back. Acknowledge that I did it.
Any chance you just didn't see their wave because their windows are tinted?
I always look. Dude, I always look. When I let them through, I'm like, oh, where's the, no wave? Okay.
Lunchbox, what is your biggest pet peeve?
It's easy. When you're in traffic and you're driving up to a stoplight and you're going to turn right at that light and the car in front, the first car is not turning right. If you're not turning right and you're the front car, get out of that lane. Like there is
you can if you're the front car if there's a red light.
No. But they could have got over. They knew they weren't turning right and they just pull up and they just stop and you just have to sit there.
But if it's a two lane, everybody doesn't have to be in the left lane to go straight.
I understand, but it's very annoying when there's, let's say there's 3 cars in the left lane. And they get over into the right lane just so they can be the first car when you're trying to turn right. It's just like, oh!
I get why that
drives
could be
me
annoying.
Nuts.
But they're not doing anything wrong because those 2 lanes are built
but
to
they're not
forward.
Doing anything wrong not saying hi to Ed, or
yes,
thank you
are.
To Eddie. No, they're not.
They didn't acknowledge me.
But they don't need to acknowledge you.
Gosh, so many
they
expectations
didn't ask you
on
to,
the road.
They didn't ask you to open the door. This guy on the road, when they sit there in that lane, it's just like, you got over, so you wouldn't be car 3, so you could be car 1. Just
what
so
if you
I
didn't get over?
Turn.
What if they're just in that lane the whole time? There are 2 lanes. Because I don't like to be in the middle lane because other cars are in the middle lane. I don't want to, like, if they veer a little bit, I get hit. Mm. So I am always try to stay in the lane that's farthest to the right. And sometimes I don't have to turn right.
Just not cool. I mean, I understand if you're 4 cars back and the 3 cars in front of you turn right and you just get stuck there, cool. But when you get over there and just so you can be car 1 and you're not turning right, oh, it drives me nuts.
He's fired up. That's the question. Amy, what's your biggest pet peeve?
Wire hangers. And also the hangers that have the metal when it turns. Have you ever been at a store and it all gets caught on each other and then you're sitting there having like a mini freak out?
Wow, Amy.
I do.
I get where wire hangers can be annoying sometimes, especially if the paper, when it rips the papers everywhere.
Wire hangers in my closet, but if I'm at a store, the hangers where the hanger part spins around, it just causes all kinds of issues. And, you know, I don't like to behave that way in public.
Mine are mostly words. When someone says literally and they don't mean literally, you can just say, you don't have to say figuratively. You can just say, that guy's big as a house. You don't have to say, that guy's literally as big as a house. It's just use the word. Another one is, well, you can't write it any better. Yeah, you can. you literally can. I'm using the word literally the correct way. You literally can take any situation that's happened and write it better.
But the literally is not supposed to be literal. It's like.
But then don't. But that's the meaning of that word is literal. So, but those are my pet peeves.
Yeah.
When someone goes, man, I literally, I'm so hungry, Eddie, I could literally eat your hat. Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Can't.
You can't.
Then eat it.
Yeah. Go for it. Go for it, big shot. Step up. Hey, cowboy, step up. Eat the hat. So literally, and they couldn't write it any better. Or 110%.
That's not possible.
You can't give any more than 100%. You can't fill up a glass of water that's full at 100 and be like, I'd like to have a 110% glass of water. No, that's spilled water. Those are my biggest pet peeves.
Uh-huh.
Oh. Well, you need our help. That's why we open up the mailbag. Let's go.
You send an email and we read it on the air. It's something we call Bobby's Mailbag. Yeah.
This is free of charge from unlicensed therapists. Hello, whoa, Bobby Bones. I'm moving in with my boyfriend at the beginning of next month. He currently lives in a house with a male roommate. I asked if when the roommate moves out, would he consider hiring a cleaning service? I don't think this was an unreasonable request. If we rented any other place, we would be moving into a place that was cleaned thoroughly. My boyfriend was so offended that I even asked this. He said he would clean the house himself and thinks I should help. I love my boyfriend. He's not good at cleaning, though. He usually uses the same wipe on the whole kitchen and calls it clean. His roommate specifically is very messy, never cleans, and I think it's unfair to be asked to help clean this space because, quote, well, it bothers you more. I wish I had the finances to hire the service myself and call it a day, but I don't. Nor do I see this as my responsibility. Any advice on what I should do, say, to not offend anyone, but also stand firm. Thank you for any advice. Signed, Neat Freak in a Frat House. Sometimes in relationships, things need to be said that aren't comfortable to hear or do. And I would go in saying, I ain't moving in until you clean the place. Now you can choose not to clean it, but I'm not moving in. That's it. And you're setting a precedent there for the future. And if you go, I'm not moving my happy butt in there until that place is cleaned up, he'll clean the place up. He'll get someone to clean it. That roommate, if he is as disgusting as you claim, I would hate to move into a house like that. And you have a great point. If you were moving into a place together, it would be clean when you go in there. It's not a lot to ask to have them come and clean it up. So if it were me, I would set the precedent by going, if you don't clean it, I ain't coming. That's it.
I wonder why he's fighting that one so hard. Like,
he said, if it matters more to you, then you should do it. That's what would tick me off.
Oh, yeah. What are you talking
about?
That
statement would make me so mad that I would set the precedent. Because if he said, I totally get it. I don't have the money right now. Maybe we can save and get a cleaning service to come in a couple of months. And I'm very sorry. I'm going to do my best.
That's different.
Heck yeah, I'd be there. I'd be like, okay, baby, I got you. I'm sorry about that. Let's make love. Or something like that.
Just like that, huh?
Yes. But the fact that he said, well, if it's more important to you, why don't you do it?
That's crazy.
Precedent set. Do not, because he's going to say this crap to you, not just about cleaning, he's going to say this kind of crap to you forever until you break him.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
You got to break him down and build him back up. Look at me. I've been broken down and built back up.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Set that standard
only
early.
In certain ways because I didn't understand what the standard needed to be. I had unhealthy habits for relationships.
Going to bed with your feet dirty.
Which, who cares? It's the bottom of the bed.
Mm, that didn't last long, did it?
Did not last long at all. Now, no conscious part of me, all of a sudden I look down and I'm cleaning my feet. I don't even know how I got there.
Did she say, like, well, clean your feet or I'm not getting in the bed?
No, she said clean your feet or you're not getting in the bed. Because
oh.
I walk around barefoot all day once I get home. And you know what? She has a point. I needed to be broken.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he said, it means more to you, so you do it. Set the precedent, draw the line.
But also mark that down as a yellow flag in how he's going to behave.
Sure. Break him. Just break him. He's a wild stallion.
Mm-hmm. But you also have to be open. If you say that, she has to realize she's setting the stage for he might be like, okay, fine, don't move in.
Oh, you can't give an ultimatum without actually pulling off the matum.
Right.
The matum.
Mm-hmm. You got to go with the matum if you give the ultimatum.
Have you ever done an ultimatum?
Absolutely.
But not really?
No.
Well, you've had to do it and you're like, dang it.
It's a great question.
Because you
sort
don't want to fold.
Sort of. The CBS New Year's special this last year. So I didn't do it. And 4 months prior, they were like, all right, let's go to another year of the special. And I had to carry the load last year. Most of the show, there was an issue with what. And I said, I get it. And it wasn't about the money because it didn't pay hardly anything. A little bit, but not much. I said, everybody else who has a special has their name on it. Ryan Seacrest has his, Miley. And CBS was the only one that didn't have it.
Yeah.
And so I said, I did it last year. I didn't say, hey, put my name on it. I just wanted to be like, hosted by Bobby Bones. That was it. And they said, we don't want to do that. They didn't value their hosts a whole lot. And that was fine. They even said that. But like, our hosts don't have to do a whole lot. And I'm like, okay, well, you didn't think that last year whenever the weather got crazy and you were like, can you carry this show for half an hour if everything breaks down? I didn't really say that. I just thought it. But, and I still, I mean, I like them a lot, but I said, hey, I can't do the show if my name's not on it. Just kind of saying. And they said, I can't do it. So I said, okay, I can't do the show. Ugh. And it wasn't that I was like, dang it, why did I do that? But it was one where it was a hard decision to have to do the Matum. I gave the Ulta, I had to do the Matum. And so I had to walk away from the show. And I liked everybody as a part of it, but I just didn't want to keep being undervalued because I did feel, and it wasn't even financial, I did feel like I was undervalued because I was doing most of the work. So that was it. Yeah, that made him hurt a little bit. I'll be honest with you.
Oh, man.
It did. That one hurt a little bit. Hey, thank you for the email. Said it. He'll change. Get married. But when you get divorced, we warned you. Right, everybody?
Yeah.
All right. Close the mailbag.
We got your email and we read it on the air. Now it's time to close Bobby's mailbag. Yeah.
Go. On the Bobby Bones Show now.
Ronnie Dunn.
Brooks and Dunn going back out on tour. Do you have any idea how many songs you guys play a night on a set list, Ronnie? Do you know, like, you're going to do 15, 20? Is there a standard?
Yeah, you have to these days. You know, back, it was like probably 19, 16, 19, and it's according to how much brown liquor we, drink on stage getting from 1 to 19.
Would you ever, back in, it could even be today, I doubt it's today, but back in the heyday, would you ever either accidentally or you just knew you'd be so, have too much to drink, and then you're on stage, you're like, oh no, I accidentally drank too much, it's hard to function?
No, that usually happens after I walk off stage. I keep it under control when I'm up there. I'm saying I have one of the few jobs where you can actually go to work and drink, and it's allowed.
Some people, even some of my friends, will fake drink on stage because they're like, it's a party.
Oh, yeah, they think it's cool. Yeah, I wonder what really is in those red cups, right?
Yes, or like a bottle of liquor that isn't actually – they would drink it on stage. So –
uh-huh.
Was there ever a time where you're like, okay, we got to slow down. Let's fake drink and make everybody think we're party animals.
Well, we say we need to slow down all the time. We don't fake drink. No. We'll do that when one of us, dives into the office, into the audience or something like that. But now we keep it under control so far. So say we, right?
Mm-hmm. That diving into the audience, I did that once. I did one stage dive one time, and I didn't know how to do it, and I went belly first.
Oh.
Yeah,
so they were grabbing.
But it can hurt. It can hurt just as bad that way. You know, if you're not careful. We used back in the day when we had a bunch of guys running with us. It was Toby, Montgomery Gentry, Keith Urban, even, and we got this idea where we were going to all like just take the buses and go to a big bar after the gigs. Right, not too smart, but we didn't have that far to go. You know, to the next show, so we would all just wagon train in there. And blow in and take, get up on stage with the band and do all this kind of stuff. So this one guy opening act, I'm not going to name him, he plays a song and then everyone's gathered around and he decides he's going to stage dive. So he does the classic Superman stage dive. And just as he got up to the top, everybody just cleared away and let him hit the floor.
Oh my God.
Oh, it was so good. Kick still stutters.
It was kicks. Yeah, he's got it. Okay, look, everybody that's on with us right now, we're talking because Brooks and Dunn, they are going back out on the road. Tickets on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m., so take your alarm on your phone and set it for 10 a.m. The Reboot 2023 official dates, they're out. They're all over the place. Do you still enjoy it every night when you're touring? Is it still like it's fun to do?
The last go-around last year was the most fun I've ever had. I don't feel the pressure that I used to for whatever reason. And I think just having that period of time off just kind of allowed me to go out and live for a while and not eat and breathe music, every day. Because when I wasn't touring, I was writing. When I wasn't writing, I was making records. So, and that's true for a lot of us. We had the little 10-year intermission and came back and it's fresh again. Yeah.
When they put out a show about country music, I watched George and Tammy on Showtime, George Jones, Tammy Wynette.
Yeah.
Did you watch that at all?
I did. I loved it.
Okay. I was just going to ask you, what were your thoughts on the show? How accurate? Because that was before you even, but I'm sure that you knew people that knew people. How accurate do you think that show was?
you know, I don't know, it had to be embellished a little bit, but who knows, really? I think that's the great unknown that I walked away, you know, from it going, you know, mm-hmm, you know, my wife's over making comments like, oh, yeah. You know, I don't know. You know what I was the most important, I mean, I'm impressed with, and this is not to evade your question, but was how well that both actor and actress like did the music.
Yeah.
And usually it's really bad. And then no one can emulate George Jones, you know, and Tammy, it would be a really stretch because they're such stylists. I thought they did a great job. I really did.
Did you know them?
There's not many of those shows. I'll sit through, you know, from episode 1 to episode 10 or whatever.
Did you know them personally older?
Well, we were neighbors when we first moved here, like after the first few years that we were here over off Franklin Road with George Jones and Nancy at the time.
And, so, and what kind of, a little bit. What kind of guy was he older?
Grumpy.
Yeah, I felt that. They used to tell me don't be friends with Ronnie because Ronnie's prickly. That's what they would say about Ronnie to me.
Right,
yeah,
right.
They'd be like,
under that new,
they'd be like, what?
Lives down the street.
They'd say, be careful about Ronnie. He's a bit prickly. And then Ronnie and I met. Yeah, little, love at first sight.
That little newbie, whoever, whatever his name is. Yeah.
Okay, look. We got the tour tomorrow. Get tickets. Brooks and Dunn. It's awesome. We're going to end with this. This is Ronnie Dunn's on with us. These are questions. These are awkward questions that our listeners ask us. So I have nothing to do with these questions in any way whatsoever. So do not be upset at me. Okay, here we go. Number one, which one is okay. Brooks? Which one is Dunn?
One with the hat, Brooks, right?
Okay. The one with the hat is Brooks. Okay. Question two, does Ronnie Dunn have his voice insured?
No, if I lose it, I'm done.
Okay.
Literally.
Who is more rich, Brooks or Dunn?
Oh, we're both going to say, me. You kidding me?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Have Brooks and Dunn ever fist fought after a show?
No, never okay. have.
And then never. Finally, do Brooks and Dunn text each other?
Yes.
There you go. That's it.
I'm a bigger texter than he is.
Those are, yeah. That is true. But I will say this, and what I like about Ronnie's always growing. Ronnie used to sign text to me, RD. He would sign them. He'd send me a text, and he'd sign it, RD. And I'd be like, bro, this ain't a registered letter. And then now it's just all good.
But even, you know, like with socials and stuff, you have these little codes sometimes. It's like, well, if I don't do this or you don't see that, then it's not real.
Yeah, but you don't have to sign
so
a text.
Now the code's out, I have to change it.
Yeah. You know? But he doesn't anymore. There's no signing text anymore. We're beyond that. But he'd be like,
that's what my daughter said. She came to me one day and she goes, hey, Dad, I know who you are. I know who it is when you text me.
You texted me.
All right, tickets on sale tomorrow. Go see Brooks and Dunn. I love them. There they are, Brooks and Dunn. That's Ronnie Dunn. Go to brooks-dunn.com and livenation.com tomorrow. There are VIP packages, which include premium tickets, invitation to the Neon Lounge, posters, VIP merchandise, and a whole bunch more. Ronnie, love you. Talk to you soon, buddy.
Ask him why they're buying tickets not to block traffic, okay?
You got it. Signed RD. You got it. All right, there he is. Ronnie Dunn, everybody. All right.
It's time for the good news.
With producer Eddie.
Tell me something good.
9-year-old Jackson from California woke up on his birthday and he wanted to ride his bike. And he goes outside, he looks for it, and he's like, oh my gosh, my bike's not here. He looks all over the neighborhood. My bike's been stolen. Oh no, what do I do? So he asks his mom, like, mom, it is my birthday. Can I get a new bike? And she says, honey, like, I can't afford that. Like, I'm sorry. We already bought your presents and we just can't afford a bike right now. So he says, that's all right. No big deal. But I do think that other kids in this neighborhood are in danger. So he calls the local news. Big Rich is a reporter in town. And he calls Big Rich and says, hey, my bike's been stolen. We want to make sure other kids' bikes don't get stolen. So Big Rich does a story on it. Well, more than stolen bikes, story's cute and all, but a lot of people start donating money and say, well, let's get this kid a bike. So they all put their money together. They bought Jackson a bike for his birthday.
That's a great story because the kid cared about others. And when he cared about others, it came back to him.
Yeah.
Which wasn't his purpose, but you'd love to see that. It's a good lesson for a kid and for other kids. But also, Lunchbox, maybe when you call the news to tip them off on a story, you need to do it in a kid's voice.
Oh.
How would that sound?
Oh, gosh.
Hi, guys. This is Little Timmy.
Little Timmy? You would call yourself Little Timmy?
No, but I'm just trying to think of a name real quick. And Little Timmy sounds good.
Lunch has got two names in his arsenal. Little Timmy and Sally.
For kids?
Yeah, just for anybody. But Lunch has tried to call the news to get them to do a story about him for years.
And they don't bite. I mean, I bought people lunch one day at a sandwich shop, bought the whole restaurant lunch.
No, you said there were like two people in line.
Three.
Okay.
But, yeah, that didn't happen. I told everybody, hey, make sure you call the
news.
Did
you see the purpose, though? This kid called the news to do a story to make sure other kids bikes
correct.
Didn't get stolen. It wasn't even about him.
Okay, then I'll call and make sure my bike doesn't get stolen.
Okay.
But you don't.
Oh boy.
I do have a bike.
You did call about your pumpkins.
I did. And guess what happened? Nothing.
Right.
He called about riding his bike because he's saving the environment or something.
That's true.
Yeah, want him to inspire America.
Eddie, that's a good story.
Thank you.
Yeah,
it's all about Jackson, guys.
That is what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
If you love cheese, I do. And sleeping, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a company called Sleep Junkie, and they want to see what happens when you eat cheese right before you go to bed, so they're going to pay a bunch of people to do that and find out. Sleep Junkie's hiring dairy dreamers. $1,000, and they want you for 3 months to eat cheese every night right before you go to sleep.
I'm in.
I feel like I'd fart a lot.
I'll do it.
Yeah, my wife probably wouldn't like this, but 21 years old, have good writing skills.
That's me.
No chance.
Be honest about the study and love cheese. So it's from Food and Wine. $1,000 for 3 months of eating cheese, pretty good.
Not bad.
Most cheese is pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. Some of the stinky cheese feels a little weird.
Yeah, but it's still good.
But still good. Question of the day. Who was the first band, artist, musician that you were really into as a kid? That they were like your first favorite. And are you still into them? Amy.
George Strait. And yes.
Why George Strait? What influenced you to love him? Because you had to be a kid. How old do you think of you?
Oh, 7, 8, and then on. I would say my dad loved George Strait. My uncle worked for him at the time. So I think managed his ranch. And so being, you know, a Texas girl, my dad's South Texas. So it was like just lots of tie-ins. So we listened to a lot of George Strait and loved it.
Yeah, if your uncle works for him, that's pretty cool. And you met him as a kid?
Yeah. And I wore, oh, it's so embarrassing. We went to his ranch to visit my uncle. And I don't know why my dad let me do this, but I wore a George Strait shirt.
But how old were you?
You were a kid.
I was probably 10.
That's not embarrassing.
That's cute.
You don't cringe because something you did at 10.
Yeah, I do.
No, you can't. That's fine.
Yeah,
that's fine.
It was over the... No, because he probably is like, oh, okay, great.
No, he's probably like, it's a 10-year-old. That's cute.
Okay.
Yeah, you're good. Don't hold yourself accountable.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's fine.
George, Eddie, what about you?
Def Leppard.
First ever.
My brother was really into like 80s hair rock, and he loved Van Halen, but I could never get into Van Halen. But when I saw the video of Pour Some Sugar on Me, dude, on MTV, I was like, this is my band. I was probably, 7 years old? Love them.
Do you still love them?
No. I mean,
if they came to play a show,
no.
Would you go if tickets were free?
Yes.
On a Tuesday night?
No, probably not. I had to say no for that.
Lunchbox?
It's Tina Turner. And it was all because of my mom. We were driving to Chicago to see her parents. And we stopped at McDonald's. And you went through the drive-thru and you got a combo meal. And for $2.99, you could get a Tina Turner Greatest Hits cassette or some other person. And my mom was like, we're getting the Tina cassette. And we listened to it all the way to Chicago. And I was like, this lady is phenomenal. I was 11 or 12 years old. First time I'd really listened to music. And I was like, this is it.
You were 11 the first time you heard music?
There was no music before
that. No,
huh?
That I really, I didn't ever really sit around and listen to it. Like, I didn't have.
But it never just played and you never had favorite songs or anything?
No. Like, my parents played records all the time and I just didn't pay attention. My brother and sister were really into New Kids on the Block. They loved that. Every time we got in the car, they'd play that
Your
tape.
Brother did?
Oh, yes.
Openly?
Openly.
Because I liked him, but I always hit it.
Yeah. Oh, every time we get in the car, like, oh, put it in. And my brother and sister would fight over Hanging Tough or
Step by Step.
Step by Step. Yeah. And so they had each other, I want Hanging Tough. And I'm just like, guys, what are we doing?
But Tina Turner made you fall
in love. Tina Turner made me realize that music could be cool.
Mm.
And I still love her today. I would drive 200 miles if I had to go see her.
Mm-hmm.
But she'll never perform again.
I was thinking about who I like bought a tape for or would record off the radio. And they're way different, but obviously Garth Brooks,
of course.
And
the white line's getting
longer. Where I'm from, in Arkansas, everybody was Garth all the time. We weren't in Oklahoma, that's where he's from, but still was close enough, and he's the greatest. But then, and I didn't have any older siblings, but presidents of the United States of America. Moving to the country,
gonna eat a lot of peaches.
That was my first, like I found it on my own and could not get enough and pursued it just because I was like, this is the greatest sound ever. And I found out the guitarist played a 3-string guitar. That was it. He just had 3 strings on. And they had this and Lump. Remember Lump?
Probably.
You know Lump, Amy.
Lump said alone in a buggy marsh. totally emotionless except for heart. Mm-hmm. Remember that one?
Yeah. Is that lump?
It's lump. It's lump. Lump.
She's in my head.
Yeah.
I wasn't. It was funny. It was fun. It was catchy.
It's very different.
But you see them now, or you would?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I drive 200 miles.
I know. I was they like, tour? That's a good way to.
I don't know.
To gauge if you're a fan.
I love the presidents of the United States of America. And I would buy their albums way after that. Little Dune Buggy in the Sand. I could do, oh, man.
Don't know that one.
So that's the first one that I found. But the one that was kind of put up on me was Garth Brooks is my favorite. Because everybody loved it, so then I loved it. We could do this all day. Diamond Rio.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
I would go to church, can't listen to Diamond Rio.
Well, that was your first concert, right?
It was. Went to Magic Springs theme park and watched Diamond Rio, and I was like, this is the big time. Wow. First concert you ever went to, ever. Mm. Mine's Diamond Rio at Magic Springs, which was a theme park in Hot Springs, Arkansas. Amy?
Amy Grant.
Do you remember who opened for her, by any chance?
Nope.
Eddie?
Clint Black at the South Padre Island Convention Center.
I remember that one. You said that one. Lunchbox?
Tina Turner, nice. Alamo Dome, 2000. Opener, Lionel Richie.
Oh, wow.
Snooze fest.
Your first concert was in 2000?
My first real concert.
Concert 2021. Chris Jansen.
Like, I went to Texas Country when I was in high school, but my first, like, real, like, concert, like...
But that counts.
Yeah,
Texas
that counts.
Country counts.
Okay, concert then Robert O'Keefe. Probably at a dance hall.
Yeah, it was just, like, at a... That's no, what I'm saying.
Mine was at a theme park, guys, with, like, 200 people.
Okay.
Mine was in a convention center.
Yeah, you guys are acting like I went to Wrigley Field to watch Diamond Rio.
I should have shouted out Frank Irwin Center for Amy Grant.
Last concert you went to.
Ooh, this is tough.
I would be Stapleton right here at Bridgestone, and I mean, that was pre-COVID. I have not been to a concert since COVID hit and since it left. Have not been to see one artist. So Stapleton at Bridgestone, whenever that was, 2.5, 3 years ago.
Amy?
I'm sure I have to have seen someone else since this concert, but Thomas Rhett and Dustin Lynch opened.
Eddie?
Man, I think the last time I went was Counting Crows with you.
Oh, yeah. That was fun.
That was awesome, but that's really, well, what, 2 years ago?
I asked my wife, do you want to go to Counting Crows? Eddie and I? She goes, do you want to have your appendix taken out? I was like, no. Okay, there you go.
I don't want to go.
Because I do not want to go to Counting Crows.
That was awesome,
so Eddie and I went. It was amazing. That was a good time.
We were the only two that didn't sit down the whole time.
We did, and they were like, sit down.
No, we're not.
And they weren't, because not because they were angry. They just were old and couldn't stand up. All right. Okay, last question, quickly. The next concert you're going to, is it all on a list? Do you have one target? I do. Adam Sandler coming up. He's doing a show in town.
Oh, I got it.
Who?
I just saw Dave Matthews coming to town.
Really?
Dave Matthews is terrible.
I am going to that.
Dave Matthews is awesome. Amy?
I want to go to Taylor Swift.
Here? But you don't have tickets yet?
Well, we're out of town when she comes here, but I'll travel 200 miles.
200 miles, yeah.
Yeah. Good luck.
Lunchbox?
My cousin's coming to town for Taylor Swift, so if I can get tickets to that, that'd be great.
Okay. Oh, he's going to be begging everybody.
I mean, I've been hitting up the bosses, and so, yeah, Taylor
Swift.
We're
going to be out of town when she's here.
No, we're not. Yes, she's here May 5th.
Oh, I thought we were out of town that weekend.
Nope.
Oh, iHeart's the following weekend. Yeah. What's up?
Here's a voicemail we got last night.
Good morning, studio. So I have a question for Dr. Bobby. I hate water. Like, it's just like, I hate drinking it, whatever. But I love putting like a flavor packet in it, like a Crystal Light or like a Mio, just to give it some flavor. And is that like healthy? Like, I'm drinking my water, but I don't know what's in these packets. Are they bad for me? But is it good because I'm drinking my water? Like, what does Dr. Bobby think about this? Is this okay? Because that's the only way I drink water is with, like, a flavor packet. Ooh, I don't know. Let me know.
It feels like I left this message last night. Like,
yeah.
That's me with my voice just a little higher. So is it as healthy as water? No. Would I say that it's healthy to put this in? Healthy? No. But if you're not drinking water... Because I've done research on this, not as a doctor, because don't forget I'm a doctor of letters.
Yes, of course.
I don't know what that is either. It is, for me, it's a net gain if I drink a whole bunch of water and I add supplements. Now, there are some supplements that are really good, but I can't tell you those Crystal Light packets are good for you. They may not be as bad for you as soda or any of the other things, energy drinks. But if that's the only way you drink water, I like it. Because I think there's a net gain there. I do the same thing. I drink those hydration, the liquid IV.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of sugar in those. And so you got to be careful about doing too many. And I'm trying to avoid as much sugar as I can. But I do think it makes me drink more water. So I try to balance it. You know how you guys will drink a water and then drink some alcohol?
Yes.
Yeah. To try to balance it.
Exactly.
I will do a water with nothing in it and then a water with something in it. And a water with nothing in it. So it's all about balance. But if the only water you're drinking is Crystal Light, that ain't good. So work to fix that. And then maybe do half a Crystal Light. That's my advice there. Yeah. The Bobby
Bones Show. Here's Amy's pile of stories.
In a new survey, only 51% of Americans say they know their blood type, but like 66% know their horoscope sign.
So the difference is you can just look on the internet and see your horoscope sign.
Yes.
What month are you born? Okay. I'm surprised more don't know their horoscope sign. Uh-huh. Idiots.
Do you know yours?
Aries.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't know my blood type.
Good job. Yeah, me neither.
I bet you it's not 50% in here.
No way. I don't know it.
And I have even specifically given blood and said, what's my blood type? And they told me, and I forgot.
Yeah, over and over.
Yeah, because then they all start to blend together. O, A, B, C. Yeah, I should know, but I don't.
I saw another article this morning about how more and more people are making those If I Go Missing binders that we've talked about before, where you put in all your stuff, like your blood type, your DNA, your fingerprints.
You want me to put my DNA in a folder?
Well, no, I'm good.
Hey, sounds kinky.
No, you make it for yourself and keep it, so in case you go missing, your family has like all of your info.
Yeah, but what if I want to go missing on purpose?
Yeah.
When you think about that, what if I just want to get away? What else?
Okay. Parents of children 6 years and under were asked what non-academic skills that they want their kids to know in early childhood. And the most popular answers were financial literacy, like filing taxes and budgeting, sewing and knitting, and then internet safety.
The sewing and knitting is very colonial. So that one doesn't, it's not the same to me, but I get it. But the other two, why didn't we learn that?
I know.
We took the dumbest classes and all part of the curriculum that we were told by our educators, lawmakers, not the teacher's fault, lawmakers' fault. You get out of high school and you don't know how to, at the time, balance a budget or back in the day, balance a checkbook because you really weren't taught that. But if you were, it was like one day. But dang it, I can take a baby doll and keep it alive for a week in home ec.
An egg.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird that common sense, and maybe it's a little better now, but I know it's not a whole lot better.
But gardening was something that popped up on the list too, which nice. I think is a skill that would be cool to be taught.
Again, half these are colonial days and half are internet safety, though, is really good.
Yes.
Right, what else?
Gabby Barrett, Lainey Wilson, and Carly Pierce are all in the top 10 country radio charts right now. Gabby's Pick Me Up is at number 4. So pick me up. Lainey's Heart Like a Truck is number 8. I got a heart like a truck. And then Carly's What He Didn't Do is at number 10. Tell you what he didn't do. This is cool because this is the first time that three women have been in the top 10 at the same time since 2020.
When I saw this, I thought it was going to say first time since like 1968 or something.
Yeah, me too. But they said 1920.
No, yeah. 2020. Yeah,
2020.
But I was expecting 1920.
Yeah. Yeah, but 3 years is still a long time.
It is, yeah. But I guess I'm just used to women being screwed over so much. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I thought it was going to be 1920. But good for them. I mean, all three of them are killing it right now. Yeah. Although every song about Carly from Carly is like a guy screwed her over. Yeah. Isn't it? Am I crazy? Yeah.
Well, that was her
is
season.
Is it about a guy?
Yeah. I don't know. But it's every song. And it's weird. It's like hopefully she has some other songs about other stuff soon. Right?
Yeah, I mean, people go through seasons.
Yeah, but that's okay. You don't have to make every song about it.
Taylor did it for years.
Taylor still will do it, but I'm saying in between there are songs.
Yeah, there's other stuff.
There's other stuff.
That was Amy's pile of stories.
It's time for the good news.
With Bobby.
Tell me something good.
Back in 2012, Hody Childress, a farmer and U.S. Air Force veteran, walked into a drugstore in his hometown, Alabama, and learned from the pharmacist that sometimes families can't afford to pay for their medicines. So he gave $100 to the pharmacist, saying, use it for anyone who can't afford their prescription. With one caveat, don't tell anyone that the money came from me, from him. So a month later, he went back in. He said, hey, did that work? They were like, yeah. So he gave him another $100 bill, and he kept doing it month after month for over a decade. Every month he'd go in, $100. The pharmacist did as he asked, and he never disclosed who the act of kindness came from, but he kept using the $100, which people in that town needed. So no one knew until he was about 80 years old. He was approaching the end of his life. He couldn't get around, and he asked his daughter, Tanya, to take over and start delivering the $100. But that was his confession to her for the first time that he was the one doing it. Confession's a weird word, but when he finally said, it's
admission.
Me, but yeah, but I need someone to keep me doing it. He passed away on January 1st, 2023, and now that friends and family are finding out what he did, they keep doing it as well.
Wow, that's really cool.
So more and more people are, that's awesome.
See, it's like a hard secret to keep, right? But like, it's a good secret. You want to tell people like what you're doing. But he kept that secret.
But now it's out, so everybody knows. Everybody's going to be looking for that family like, hey, hey.
Do you think they're going to go to the family and go, will you break me off some?
No.
I don't at all.
Okay, they may not go to him, but they see him at the gas station. Ah, ah, ah.
That's what they do.
Do you have something in your throat?
You're here to give 100?
He's going, ah, ah.
What is he talking about?
To make sure they notice
him. On a fur ball. I would run over and give him the Heimlich more than I'd give him 100.
But you make noise, so they see you. Like, oh, that guy could use 100.
It's a great story for what he has been doing and what that family and what those friends are doing in his honor. That is what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines. Plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on StraightTalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines. All on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card. You call the number for help and you can't get a hold of anyone. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.